Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And we meet again for another edition of Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideu in Bonn, Germany. Good morning and welcome to the program. Our main stories this Monday, the 16th of March. Fears and concerns as Nigeria heads to the polls in less than 2 weeks.
If election did not hold in Nigeria, definitely is going to prompt some crisis.
The EU peacekeeping mission in Central African Republic is returning home after 1 year.
People are now leaving their refugee camps and the internally displaced are returning to their homes. I have the impression that we have accomplished our mission.
Stay tuned to hear whether CAR residents share the same opinion. Plus, the drama continues in Crossroads Generation.
Top story.
Countdown in Nigeria. With less than 2 weeks before Nigerians decide their next president, the main issue remains security. And this was highlighted on Sunday after an attack by suspected herdsmen killed at least 45 people. The election, which was earlier scheduled for February the 14th, was pushed to March due to the Boko Haram insurgency in the northeast. And though the Electoral Commission now says the polls will go ahead, some are not convinced, as Sam Olukoya reports.
With less than 2 weeks to go, many are wondering whether the elections will hold on March 28 to elect a president and on April 11 to elect state governors. The military said it has now sufficiently defeated Boko Haram to make the elections safe enough to hold. On its part, the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, says it is ready for the elections. Kayode Idowu is the spokesman of the commission.
There is no other constitutional window not to hold elections on the 28th and 11th. Anything outside that now will have to be extra-constitutional. And that takes it squarely away from INEC. It will have to be dealt with, maybe by the legislative houses and all that, because it has gone beyond the remit of the law. So as far as INEC is concerned, we have reached the baseline.
But the Electoral Commission has several critics, like these demonstrators who took to the streets to protest the Commission's plans to use electronic means for the voting exercise. Some people, like Ralph Nwazirike of the Movement for the Actualization of the Sovereign State of Biafra, MASOP, have even called for the sack of Professor Atahi Rijega, head of the electoral body. Nwazirike accused Jega of supporting an unnamed political party.
It is also amazing that Jega refused to step aside, even where there are evidences pointing to his bias. The only option left for him is to quit. He is not the only person that can conduct elections in Nigeria. Jega cannot organize elections by force.
Groups linked to the ruling People's Democratic Party are the ones finding faults with the Electoral Commission. Some people, like Yemi Olanipeku of the protest movement Occupy Nigeria, say it is apparent that some interest groups don't want the election to hold.
Yeah, there are feelings all around the country that a lot of people don't want the election to hold because of one fear or the other. So those are the people that don't really want the election to hold. I think that's obvious signs. If election did not hold in Nigeria, definitely is going to prompt some crisis.
The forthcoming election have generated a lot of interest in Nigeria, as this is the first time in the country's history that the opposition appears strong enough to defeat a sitting president.
DW correspondent Sam Olukoya in Lagos. Nigerian soldiers this weekend detonated two bombs found inside a camp for internally displaced persons in Maiduguri, the birthplace of Boko Haram. The Islamists have lost several towns in the hands of a multinational force. But are these territories safe for elections to be conducted? A question Isaac Mugabe put to Husaini Abdu, country director, ActionAid Nigeria.
Yeah, of course, most of those villages were deserted the moment the Boko Haram occupied them. The ones that actually had people have much more older people, women, older women and others. People are still observing the situation. And a lot of people are yet to start returning into those villages or those earlier occupied territories by Boko Haram. And I will actually be surprised if those villages got fully occupied before the elections in the next 2 weeks. So it's still a very difficult thing. These people have experienced violence. They have seen large-scale violence. So it is not easy for them to just go back. They would like to wait and see what is going to happen. Are Boko Haram going to come back? Are we safe? Can the military still protect us? So they are asking themselves this kind of questions. And so I'm not seeing people going back in that mass for election.
How can you describe northern Nigeria at this moment?
Yeah, the towns in the northeast of the country, close to 40 of them, have been liberated in the last few weeks, particularly since February. And that is very encouraging. Nigerians are feeling very happy that this has been done. Nigerians are excited that the military has woken up from its slumber and felt that they have been able to flush out the Boko Haram. There is that element of happiness. You can see people excited that this is actually happening. But again, that excitement is yet to transform into people moving back to those villages. Some of the villages have been massively destroyed. Their houses were burned. Their livelihoods were destroyed. And therefore, a lot of the people who have moved into other locations or IDP camps are very reluctant to go back. So I have not seen people coming back to those villages just before the elections.
Action Aid's country director, Hussaini Abdu, and we apologize for the poor telephone line.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Mission accomplished? Well, that depends on who you ask in the Central African Republic. Around 700 soldiers and police officers from the EU peacekeeping mission are returning home after a year in CAR. The mission was mandated to protect civilians and guarantee security for humanitarian operations. This report by Philip Sandner is now presented by Isaac Mugabe.
After spending almost a year in the Central African Republic, 700 soldiers and police officers from the European Union are returning home. Their military mission, which was launched in April 2014, was given the task of protecting the population and safeguarding the delivery of humanitarian assistance. General Philippe Pontiers, who led the mission, said the mission had a limited mandate and that he is satisfied with the outcome.
We are living in a city, Bangui, to which peace has been restored and in which a political process is now in motion. People are now leaving their refugee camps and the internally displaced are returning to their homes. I have the impression that we have accomplished our mission.
But many citizens of Central African Republic do not share Pontier's view. They say the conflict is far from over. One of them is DW listener Chris. He says he's sad that the European troops are packing up and leaving.
I wish they could have stayed. The conflict is far from over. There are still armed gangs operating both in the outskirts and inside the capital, Bangui. The Seleka and anti-Balaka groups are still active and the police in Bangui is poorly equipped.
French political scientist Roland Marchal also believes that the troops are leaving too soon. He says international engagement to help CAR does not go far enough.
The population has been abandoned. The international community is just thinking about elections in CAR. They believe that they will lead a legitimate government which will be in position to solve all the problems. But the conditions needed for elections are not in place. The political climate is not right yet.
David Smith, a South African analyst specializing in Central African Republic, pointed out that although the mission was restrictive, having secured the airport and two unruly districts, one can by large conclude that it was successful. But he adds that Central African Republic still remains a fragile country.
Peace has not come to the Central African Republic. You know, there have been so many peacekeeping missions in that country over the past 20 years, and they've managed to temporarily stabilize the country, but they've never managed to fix the underlying problems that led to the conflict in the first place.
That report was written by Philip Sandner. You're listening to Africa Link from DW Studios in Bonn, Germany.
For more about Africa Link, go to dw.de/AfricaLink. Find out about Africa Link's partner stations, send us your feedback in a text message, and sign up for our newsletter, dw.de/AfricaLink.
To Swaziland now, where up to 17,000 textile workers risk losing their jobs. That's because at the start of the year, the country was kicked out from the Africa-US Free Trade Agreement, AGOA. Reason being, Swaziland has consistently failed to respect human rights and freedom of expression. From Manzini, Sam Kowi reports.
The bus station at Manzini, Swaziland's second largest city and industrial hub, is a chaotic mishmash of white transport vans looking for parking spaces and market stalls which sell clothes and groceries, with street hawkers wandering between, plying their goods to passengers. It's one of Swaziland's main transport hubs, and every day, thousands of workers travel in from rural villages to work in the city's textile factories. A short walk from the bus station, I've arranged to meet Rosemary Hadib, a former textile worker, at the office for the Amalgamated Trade Unions of Swaziland, known as ATUSWA. Rosemary used to work in one of Swaziland's largest textile factories, which produced clothing for the US market. She lost her job along with 1,400 others when the factory closed in November.
I'm worried about the life, my children, because my children are my priority, since I'm a single parent. The life they're going to have whilst I'm not employed.
Rosemary says that her life was difficult enough even when she was working. She says that her fortnightly salary of 575 Swazi rand, which is roughly $57, was barely enough to keep her four young sons fed, clothed and in school.
Thinking about their school fees, because I'm the only one who's fending for them, thinking of bringing food to their table, because they need to, although I couldn't sometimes manage, sometimes I would even run out of bus fare, 5 rand, to get to work. How much more when I'm not working?
Since losing her job at the textile factory, Rosemary has been living off of her severance pay and has tried to make a living by hawking clothes. Rosemary is one of thousands of Swazi textile workers left fearing for their livelihoods following Swaziland's removal from a US free trade bloc, the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, known as AGOA. It is feared that Swaziland's exit from the trade bloc could cost up to 17,000 jobs, a huge number for a country of just 1.25 million people, already has an unemployment rate of 42%, with around 63% of the population living below the poverty line. The Swazi government did nothing and the deadline to make amendments passed. Swaziland now has to reapply to be part of the AGOA trade pact, which is a long process. Madagascar, removed in 2009 after a military coup, were just reinstated at the beginning of 2015.
Sam Kowi reporting. Time now for the drama and action in Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there. Nice to have you back for today's episode of Crossroads Generation, our ongoing radio drama about the challenges faced by young Africans looking for the right path in life.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future starts today.
Lately, 18-year-old Mercy has had a lot to take. She's already struggling to be a good student at university and a good mother to her 3-year-old daughter, Linda. Then she found out that her best friend, Trudy, had been shot dead on the university campus. The other students immediately protested.
It seems that robbers can easily get into the hostels.
Yeah!
And they have killed our friend.
Yeah!
This cannot happen again.
No!
Justice for Trudy.
Justice for Trudy.
But Tina has just told Mercy that their friend wasn't killed by robbers. It was because of a report Trudy was working on for university radio.
It was about the brothel in town. I was her source. We got some pretty explosive material, and I'm going to make sure it gets broadcast.
What? This is too dangerous, Tina.
I owe it to Trudy. And to be honest, I could use your help.
Will Mercy help her friend Tina? We are about to find out in this 22nd episode called Rest in Peace. The man behind the prostitution racket is the politician Mukaraba, the same man who was just convicted of buying a child from Mercy's father, Msotho, in an illegal adoption. Nonetheless, he is still running for parliament in the upcoming elections.
Okay, Mr. Mukaraba, here we go.
All right. MPP Hoye, vote for Mukaraba's Progressive Party. Vote for me, Moses Mukaraba, to move our great country forward. MPP! MPP! Vote for me if you want progress.
Why should we vote for a criminal?
Yes! Yes.
Why? The court found you guilty.
Yes!
Vote for Mukaraba's Progressive Party. Vote for me for development and growth.
I think we need to get out of here. Mr. Mukaraba, the crowd doesn't seem to be so friendly.
Just ignore them. It's just a few goons hired by the opposition to disrupt my rallies.
We want security!
What's that group of students doing here?
Comrade Power!
Mr. Mukaraba, please, let's go.
Wait. Let me talk to them. Hello? Hello, my good people.
We are not your people.
It's all right. It's all right. I can see that you're disappointed about the security situation. But I promise that this will be one of the first things I'll improve once I am a member of parliament.
Down with politicians!
Please choose one of you to speak on your behalf.
We are here to tell you and all the other politicians that we are tired of your lies and games. Right? Every 5 years you come to us with your promises and your lies. But 5 years down the line, things are exactly the same, if not worse.
Liar.
You promised us roads. Do you see any proper roads here, comrades?
No.
You promised us security. And instead, one of us gets shot inside our university hostel. Justice for Trudy.
Justice for Trudy.
We want security.
We want security.
Justice for Trudy.
Justice for Trudy.
We want security.
We want security.
Please. We can discuss this in a civilized...
Quick, Mr. Mukaraba, get in the car.
What are they throwing at me? What's that smell?
Flying toilets. Quick, get in the car. Oh.
Yes, come in.
Hello, Professor Nyambune. Thank you for taking your time to see us.
Yes.
Hello, Mercy.
Hello.
Hello, Tina.
Hello.
Have a seat.
Thank you.
So, how is the university radio going? Have you prepared the program we discussed before?
Tina and I have just finalized the script, sir.
May I see it?
Here it is.
I see you've found more girls who are prepared to tell their stories.
Yes, but they want to stay anonymous, especially because some of them have accused Mukaraba of running the brothel business.
I see. Tina, I would advise you to use a different name when you're on air, especially since you're the main source, for your own safety.
Okay, Professor.
Good. Here's a script back. I think you two have already done an excellent job. You've double-checked the facts. You have witnesses, and it's a strong emotional story. If you have any more questions, you know where to find me.
Thank you, sir. There is one last thing. We'd like to dedicate this show to Trudy.
Yes.
That's an excellent idea, I have to say. I'm really very impressed by the work she did and by the way you two took it up and finished it.
Thank you.
And remember, don't discuss it with anyone before it goes to air.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then. Off you go. The big day approaches.
Linda, come here. Let me carry you. At the rate you're walking, we'll be late for Auntie Trudy's funeral. We are meeting your mommy, Mercy, there too.
Hey, Lulu. Lulu, wait for me.
Hello.
What do you want now, Msotho?
I'm just going to the funeral.
I hope you don't mind if we walk together.
Well, it's a free country. But from next week on, when my daughter Joy comes to live with me, you'll have to respect the judge's restraining order.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. Mercy must be devastated. She and Trudy were friends for a long time. Lulu, what's wrong? Why won't you talk to me?
What do you want me to say? Of course I mind walking with you. All right. I am grateful that you came and testified against Mukaraba and that I'm going to get my daughter back. But that doesn't make what you did right. We are finished, Msoto.
Lulu, I'm sorry.
Save it, Msoto. Just do me a favor, okay? Crawl back to whatever hole it is you came out of. Leave me and my kids alone. We are here. You can sit over there, Msoto. Linda and I will sit at the front.
And so, we are gathered here today to celebrate the life of our dear friend Trudy. Maybe some of you will ask yourselves why I call it a celebration. You might think, our dearest Trudy is dead? And this man is talking about celebrating? We are celebrating Trudy because she loved life and made the very most of the short life that she had. And now we should not be sad, for she has gone to a better place. I will ask Trudy's friend to say a few words about her before we proceed to lay our dear one in her final resting place. Mercy Msoto, please kindly step forward.
Trudy and I knew each other back in high school when I was still as green as I can. She was the first to take me under her wing, and she protected me from the bullies at our school. Trudy and I had our differences. In fact, we had a huge fight not so long ago. But I know she had a good heart. And even when we were fighting, we still loved each other. I'm just so sorry that I wasn't there to protect her in the end when her young life was so brutally cut short. But I promise you, Trudy, you will be remembered. I'll make sure of that. Rest in peace, my friend. Until we meet again.
And it's on that sad note that we end today's episode of Crossroads Generation. Don't miss the next one to find out what Tina and Mercy have been planning with their professor to honor Trudy's memory. In the meantime, check out our webpage at dw.de/LBE and see what Tina has been confiding to her personal video diary. Bye for now.
And now a quick reminder of our main stories before we leave. Nigeria's Electoral Commission says it will go ahead with the March 28 elections amid growing concerns about the readiness to hold the crucial polls. The EU peacekeeping force in Central African Republic says it has accomplished its mission and is now returning home. And thousands of textile workers risk losing their jobs in Swaziland after the US cancelled a free trade agreement. Africa Link would love to hear what you think of our program and stories. Do send us your comments and suggestions by writing an SMS to country code 491609575910. That's country code 491609575910. An email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. Thank you for listening. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Keep it DW.